Australia, we would impact 75% of our Australian population. Sport is really quite profound, strategically profound to impact our communities. Today, I think I mentioned this last year, there's probably about 150 people here, 150 people here. Times that by 40 right now, and that's how many people are involved in a sports club in our local area. 40 times more people do community in a sports club than in church. And I'm excited because God's just opening up the doors. Sports is coming to us and saying, we're just about to launch this week with Basketball Victoria. They want to get chaplains to all their associations, all their clubs throughout country Victoria, metropolitan Victoria, which is so exciting, and because they see the great value and impact that it has on not just caring for people, but bringing transformation to communities and lives. And that's what we're about, isn't it? Seeing Christ's kingdom come and his will be done. Is it all right to say amen? Amen. There we go. This morning, I just, in the time left with me, now how much time do I have? It's about 1:45, so about half an hour or so, 25 minutes. I'm going to talk on a very interesting subject, or maybe a subject you haven't heard before, or maybe you have, but I want to talk on time. What the Bible talks to us about time and the different types of time expressed in the Bible. I just asked then, how much time do we have? In the Bible, there's the Greek word for time is chronos, one of the words expressed as chronos. Everyone say chronos? Chronos. Now, gentlemen, if you've got a, has anyone got a chronograph watch? Give me a wave if you've got a chronograph watch. Yes, there's a few there. Now, I didn't know what a chronograph, do you know what a chronograph watch is? You've heard it though, haven't you? Heard the term. It's actually a watch that just doesn't have an hour hand and a minute hand. It's actually a watch that has those other dials on it that are like a stopwatch. And in fact, they are a stopwatch. So a chronograph watch is a watch that's just not a watch, but you can capture time. And in God's word, we see this expressed and reflected a number of times, how time can be spent. We can spend time with God. Now, as we look through Scripture, we see that God is Lord over time. He's in control of the seasons. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He was before time. He's after time. Time does not control God. God is in charge of time. And this morning, my hope, as I just shared this, that we might, as God's people, get a fresh revelation of what it means to spend time, what it means to save time, and actually what it means to waste time. Those three reflections there. We'd have a fresh revelation of actually going, God has given me time. That time doesn't belong to me. It's his time. Darren shared his story from when he was a young lad too. And I was reflecting and talking to my son, Lockie. Lock's playing footy down at Sandringham. And I said, think about time in a bigger picture now. Lock, I said, why has God placed you on this earth at this time? Because he's in charge of time. So, and how are we using our time? Are we using our time effectively? At the Melbourne Football Club, when I served there, one of the things that I came to realise, and Deb, as you go into the girls and spend time with the girls at the St Kilda Club, and as we go in, that time that we are giving is really quality time. Now, we can just go in there and give Chronos time. We go in, I'm going to spend 2 hours in the club. You can go in, say, okay, I'm going to spend 2 hours in the club. But you ain't going to do that, I know. Because you understand that when you go in there, it's just not time you're giving, it's quality time. You're looking for opportunities that you can invest in them. And the second type of time in the Bible is Kairos time. It's time that we invest. It's moments we lay a hold of. So we got Chronos time. It's time that we can spend. And so for many of us, we can spend time. Who's been here for about 6 years? Give me a wave if you've been in the church longer than 6 years here. That's great. What about 2 years? Anyone here for 2 years? There, 10 months? John? Saw you up there. We can spend time in church. Chronos time. And And as chaplains, I used to go down to the Melbourne Footy Club. And one of the things that I realised that when I gave people in my community time and I gave quality time, something began to happen. When I spent time with footy players and staff members and others, something began to happen. Hearts began to open up. I'd be just hanging around, seemingly not doing a lot as a chaplain. We talk about it's a ministry of presence. But one thing I started to see was that people's hearts started to open up. John Van Groningen, your chaplain, Darren, spent time with you. Ask questions. Tell me about yourself. Who are you? And hearts begin to open up. And for me, that was such a revelation when I was a young man. The importance for us as God's people, not only to live our lives with chronos, spending time, a measure of time, but actually investing quality time, the importance of it. So chronos time, just let me have a reflection on that. Sorry, I'm going to be up and down here. So you know, we can spend... Now, you're all giving me half an hour. If I step over that chronos time, that 30 minutes, what's going to happen? Yeah, switch off. Yeah, microphone goes off. You're going, Cam, you're cutting into my chronos time now. And we do that, don't we? We sort of live, we compartmentalise. I was thinking about this. If you've got a smartphone on, you take your smartphone up and just give me a wave with your smartphone. You got it there. These smartphones have calendars, stopwatches. Everything about them helps us as people to organise our time. But that's chronos time. How much time am I going to spend here? I'm going to spend an hour and a half at church. I'll hang around for another half an hour. I'll leave 20 minutes early before to get to church. So we do this chronos stuff. You know, we plan out our week. We plan out our time. Now, it's really important to do that. It's important to be planned. It's important to have goals, really, really important. But if we live our lives like that, just spending time, we'll get very, very stressed. Who's ever a bit stressed about stuff? Give me a wave. I'm putting my hand up. Come on, put up your hands if you get a little bit stressed about stuff. A lot of research shows that as technology has been introduced, stress levels of humanity have gone through the roof. Do you want to know why? Because we're so focused on chronos time. I'm giving this time, I'm doing this time, I'm going here, we're going to do this, I'm going to take the kids to the basketball. If you're a parent, you understand what I'm talking about. Everything's just chronos time. It's important, and the Bible talks about it. The Bible says that the disciples, Paul and Barnabas, went and spent some times with some of the villagers, and the Bible says that they spent time there with the disciples. They planned time, they did chronos time together. Really, really important stuff to do. This is quantitative time. Important in our lives. But kairos time is all a little bit different. Kairos time is qualitative time. And we see this expressed in the Bible a whole lot more. We see about spending qualitative time. I was saying, some of you are here for 6 years. Have you ever been at church and you've met someone, you go, hi, how you doing? Nice, what's your name? Bob. G'day, Bob. How long have you been here? 6 years. I've been here 6 years. I haven't met you. Nice to meet you. Have you ever had that experience ever at church? Or I go to Bayside churches down the road, and it happens all the time. So you can do chronos time together. We can spend 6 years together, but actually not do qualitative time, or quality time, I should say. And not get to know someone. Has anyone ever done that? You've met somebody and you go, hey, would you like to go out to lunch today? And you go out with that person and you actually have an awesome time. You get to know this whole new person. And it's invigorating. It's good for the soul. Have you ever been in a D&M, Darren? Do you do D&Ms? Deep and meaningfuls. Do you ever do that? No, yeah. Not publicly. And you might be talking and someone's coming, oh, the service is starting, or this is happening now, and you're just in the moment. The whole thing about kairos time, it's about capturing the moment. Capturing the moment. See, when God moves, when God's touching people, that's a kairos moment. And it's important at those times not to be led by this or the smartphone, but to stay in the moment. When I was pastoring or chaplaining the Melbourne Footy Club, I was spending time there, but I was looking for my kairos moments. I was looking for those moments where a player would walk past and say something, and I go, I could just let that slip, or I can lay a hold of this opportunity to have a conversation. I was standing at the drink fountain with handing out Gatorades, as a chaplain often does. You find yourself just being there, being present. I'm here, I'm spending time at the club. And one of the players just mumbled something to me. And can we catch up and talk? And I couldn't sort of understand it. He was obviously very nervous, but he needed somebody to talk to. If I wasn't spending time, he would never had someone to go and talk to. He wouldn't have had someone to offload to. And we caught up and he poured out his heart, all the stuff that was happening. That was a kairos moment. As he was sharing this, I'm saying, God, do you want to say something to this footy player? And I just shared a few things that were on my heart. And you learn to do it appropriately. You don't say, thus says the Lord, Mr. AFL footy player, or Mrs. AFL footy player, or Mr. Basketballer. You just say, hey, I just have this on my heart. How does that sound to you? And they go, yeah, that's pretty appropriate. And I said, can I pray with you? And this footy player doesn't go to church, but it was a kairos moment. I could have said, oh, I'm busy, you've got to go to training, but I wanted to capture and keep that moment and master the moment of having the kairos moment, that moment, that quality moment where God's moving, and capture it. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, because the Pharisees, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and they were, you remember, he was coming in on the pony, on the donkey, and they were saying, Emmanuel, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees said, Jesus, rebuke these people. They shouldn't be saying this. Jesus turned to them and rebuked them. And he said this. He said, man, calamity is going to come upon you. He says, for you do not understand the timing of God, God's time, what God is doing. You've missed the moment. And you miss the time. I really want to encourage us as a church that wherever we go in our workplace or in school, or mums, if you're in a mums group, or if you're at work, there are going to be those moments that the chronos time has to be pushed aside for this very special moment, because God's at work. And one of the things I loved, Deb, about doing chaplaincy was you're actually putting yourself in that position where you're just hanging and you're looking for those kairos moments. Those quality times where God can move. And what happens is when you do that, hearts open up. And sometimes I think when we want to do evangelism as a church, or we want to reach our community, actually what we're doing is kairos moments. Let's go and do carols by candlelight. Let's put that on for the community. So we go out there, we do it, we programatize it. We have a start point, finish time, and then we walk away. That's okay. It's all right to do those things. It's all right to plan it and put it together. But the aim of doing that is to engage hearts and see hearts and lives transformed and impacted. And God can move powerfully. It's all about investing time, taking an opportune time, a fitting time to respond. So very important. I've got a neighbour, Russ, who lives across the road from me, and as I was reflecting on this, I'm thinking, I know Russ. I've spent Kronos time with him. I've never gone and said, hey, Russ, tell me about yourself. I know him. I've done Kronos time with him, but I've never done qualitative time with him. I just felt the Lord say, well, why don't you invite him over? So how do we do kairos times? I think it comes around about meals and coffees. Have coffees with people. Have meals with people. Ask people questions. A really important thing to do, the art of asking questions. In Genesis 3, I love this, a beautiful picture of quality time that God spends with Adam and Eve. Remember the passage in Genesis 3? The Bible says that God was walking through the garden, hanging, just doing time in the cool of the afternoon, Chronos time. He picked a moment when he did it, but he was just there hanging. And I reckon, I don't think this was the only time he did that. Do you think it was the only time he did that, this one? No, I think he did it. Bible says that he was walking through the garden and he was wondering, where's Adam? Where's Eve? He goes, where are you guys? Asking a question. I said, oh, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Another question. Oh, we're naked. Who said you're naked? Another question. Love it. God's spending quality time asking questions. You can get in trouble for asking questions. Has anyone ever got in trouble for asking too many questions? I was at a wedding with one of my with the captain of our footy team, and I was sitting next door to his manager, and I was just asking him a whole lot of questions over the meal, and halfway through it, he got angry and irate, and he screamed at me, "Stop asking me questions!" And if anyone knows me, I love asking questions. You know, tell me about yourself. Are you a cat person or are you a dog person? Craig, are you a Holden person or a Ford person? Peugeot. Asking questions, getting to know people, really. It's a real simple art. In fact, there was a book written, Bill Hybels wrote a book. Anyone read the book, you know, Walk Across the Room? He just talks about going places and feeling like, oh, I'm scared, I'm in a corner. Whoever goes to parties, you don't know anyone and you just feel, oh, I'm standing in the corner, I'm not dancing. I was at a wedding recently and I was by myself, so how am I going to get up and dance, you know, and you just feel isolated. So my brain goes into ask questions, get to know people, connect, engage with people. It's so important. What happens is hearts open up. And today in Australia, 97% of people don't have a relationship with Jesus. 3% of people are actively involved and it's decreasing. Our communities are going to church less. God is becoming less relevant. And yet, they're asking for chaplains. I asked the question, why do we have over, it's getting close to 10,000 requests from sport for chaplains. These are leagues, Football New South Wales, 700 clubs. Football New South Wales looked us in the eye and said, we would love to try and get a chaplain in all our 700 football clubs. I've shared this with you before. We're hearing this all the time. And I asked the question, why do they want chaplains? What is it about a chaplain that is speaking to the Australian culture? And I'll tell you this. Because I reckon we go to that quality time place. Hearts open up. Lives have been touched and influenced. From the top down, from the president to the coach to the players. So we got quality time. Sorry, better check my time, all right. We're there. We've got 20, I've got a few more minutes. Is that all right? We're going okay. So really important. So there's a beautiful passage in Psalms where David sort of melds the Kairos time and the Chronos time together. And he says this, beautiful, it's Psalm 92 verse 12, or 90 verse 12. And he says, Lord, teach me how short my days are that I might become wise. Teach me how quick this life that you've given me goes. We don't know when our time's up. God's given us, it's his time. He's given it to us. And he's calling us. As David says, teach me how short my life is that I might become wise. I'm wise with my time. Speaks to young people. Life's going to go really quick. Wasn't long ago, Darren, that you were playing basketball, was it? You're on the court. Does it feel a long time? All the injuries and that. But doesn't life go quick? You have kids, you realize how quick life goes. Lord, teach us how quick and short our life is so that we might become wise. Having those quality times. Really good. The final time that I want to hit on is, for me, I think the exciting one. And so you have Chronos time, you have Kairos time, and the final time in the Bible is aeon. It's the Greek word aeon. And does anyone enjoy wasting time? Give me a wave if you enjoy wasting time. One, two, three, four, five. Good. Aeon is actually God's time and our time, and it means wasting time. Did you know that God wants us to waste time with Him? Mums, you know exactly what I mean. When you're holding your baby and you can be doing the washing and you can be doing the cooking and all this, and you're holding this baby and you're just soaking up those moments. You're not doing anything. It wasn't planned. Dads, when your daughter comes and lies on the couch with you and says nothing, you say nothing, you don't have a conversation, it wasn't scripted or planned. You're just there. Just being present. Just wasting time together. The book of Isaiah talks about those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up. That time of just wasting with God. In a world where we're so focused on being ordered and structured, and I think that in some ways God wants us to learn what it means to waste time with Him. We read a scripture just a few moments ago about Mary and Martha. Can I have that up on the screen again if that's okay? And here's the time, and I just want to reflect on, so they made their way to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. In the next verse, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to her. Imagine the disciples there. They're spending quality time. Mary's spending quality time, but it's a little bit more than that. It's a yielded time. It's not only sitting there listening to God. It's not only sitting listening to the speaker. There's this notion of being yielded at the Master's feet. And the next verse there. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." We go to the next verse. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." The story says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations. You know what? We live our lives more often than not by Chronos time, and it dictates our lives. I really feel there's a halcyon call by the Holy Spirit to say to His people, hey guys, yes, it's important to do those things, but what's really important is that you think about those Kairos moments. But equally, even more important, are those times that you spend with me, those times where you're yielded before me. Jesus says these very interesting words. He says, "You are worried and upset about many things." When you live your life about planning the dinners and planning the meals, and I feel for, as many of us do here, and this applies to men as much as women, my wife always says, "Oh, who's going to do the cooking then? You know, who's going to do the preparation then?" And I get that. But what Jesus was trying to do, that if you live your life by Chronos time, you're going to get stressed and worried and labored. And there are moments that He just calls us to yield ourselves to Him. So I'm in your hands. Just going to spend this time with you. I love you. I'm not going to get caught up and distracted. I'm going to let other things pass me by. This moment right now is, God, this is my time and your time. And I'm going to give you that. Might be in the car on the way to work, and you're sitting there, and God just starts to stir your heart about something. Just staying in that moment, yielded. Lord, I give my life is yours. I yield it to you. Jesus says that's what's really important, those moments. Can I encourage you to think about not being overwhelmed by Chronos time, about planning time, and we busy our lives up so much time that God squeezes us out. A lot of people say, "Cam, how long does it take to be a chaplain serving in a club?" And I say, basically, if you can give 5 to 8 hours a week, you know, you might go to training for 2 hours on a Thursday night and spend a few hours on Saturday at the game or Sunday morning, whenever, and just spend time with people. Look for moments of quality time. Hearts can be transformed. Communities can be transformed. Hearts start opening up to Jesus. We'll see in Australia a rise of people who are responding to the grace and mercy. I know because I saw it at Melbourne. And just at my footy club last week, I was an ambulance came and a player was badly hurt, and I was there to watch. I was doing Kronos time. I was there to watch my son play footy, but I felt this kid needed someone, so I went to the ambulance. I got a free ride, ambulance blaring, all the way into the Alfred, and just spent time with him and his parents, and the impact and their hearts opening up. And the footy club turned around and said, "Hey, can you come and talk to us? Can you come and share with us?" And so I had opportunity just to speak into their hearts and bring the grace and mercy of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to think on those three things, or a few things. First of all, our time is not our time. It's actually God's time. It's his time. And he wants us to be great stewards with the time that we have. He wants us to invest in quality time. Look for those moments. Grab a hold of those moments. But finally here, sometimes lay aside and say, "God, I give you my heart. I yield myself to you so that you can do, as Mary did, what you want to do." He's calling us to do that. So important. I want to finish up by sharing one story and then we'll have a video. A few years ago, I was just down at the footy club, and there was a few trainers talking during the week, and they were talking in a circle. And of course, we talk about chaplaincies loitering with intent. We hang around, you know, loitering a little bit, listening to conversations. And I overheard them talking about an old fellow who was nearly dead. And I sort of walked into this group and I was, "G'day guys, oh, g'day Rev." They were talking about this guy Charlie, and Charlie used to work for the footy club, but he hadn't been there for a while, I didn't know him. And they said, "Oh, he's got cancer and he's not doing too well." And right in that moment, I said, "Oh, what hospital's he at?" And they said, "Oh, he's at the Mercy. The Mercy. The one there in the city on Victoria Street. I think it's the Mercy. Might be wrong." They said, "Yeah, he's just there." I said, "Oh, would he mind if I could just drop in?" They said, "Oh, I guess so." And with that, I just got on with my next couple of days. And I was driving along Victoria Street about 3 days later, and I was going off to a meeting. It wasn't too important meeting. And as I was driving, I saw the hospital and my heart quickened, and I thought, "Oh, that's where that guy Charlie is." And I had a meeting to go, and I had it right at that moment a chance just to, can I just put off that Kronos planned meeting? Yeah, I probably could. So I lay a hold of that Kairos moment and I drove in. I parked the car and I went up, and I didn't know the guy, and they told me to go up to this ward. So I went to the ward. I was a little bit, guy doesn't know me. I don't often just do things like this, but I thought he worked for the footy club, so I'll just drop in and say g'day. So I walked in and there he was, and he had his daughter. He was about 80. He had a daughter about 35 on the other side of the bed there. She was a young lady. And I walked in with my tracksuit. "So, David, wearing your polo shirt's good," because they recognised. And I said, "Oh, hi, I'm Cam. I'm the chaplain of the footy club that used to, you know, Melbourne, that used to be involved with." "Oh, hello, nice to meet you." "So I just heard Kevy and the boys talking about you," and just came in to say hi. And with that, he just went off, and I said, "Tell me about yourself, Charlie." He shared about his life and about who he was, and I was just sitting there, quality time for about an hour and a half, you know. Wow, an hour and a half. Some of us would probably get a little bit, 20 minutes is enough. But I can tell you that hour and a half, hearing his story, showing interest in him, I just felt, "God, just give me a word to share with him." And I said, you know, I just quietly said, "Lord, what do you want to say? Is there anything you want to say?" And a scripture came to mind: "Blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy." And I said, "Oh, Charlie, I've got to go now." He could have probably spoken for about another hour and a half, but I was sort of cut it short. "I've got to go now." "Can I share something? I don't know if it means anything to you, but as you're talking, there's a great Bible verse that says that blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Now, he's a guy that never went to church, but he always helped people around the footy club. He cut hairs. He did whatever he could do as a volunteer. He had no agenda. He just showed mercy to people. He was showing kindness and mercy. And I shared that verse with him. I said, Charlie, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I said, can I pray for you? And when I said, can I pray for you, I've never heard someone cry or sob like Charlie did. Charlie sobbed at the top of his voice. And he was sobbing loud and I freaked out. I thought, what have I done? Oh, I'm freaking out. Who'd be freaking out at that time? I've never heard. And he was sobbing and sobbing. And it felt like about 5-10 minutes, but it was probably only a minute or two. And his daughter's going, it's okay, Dad, it's okay, Dad. And I'm going, it's all right, Charlie, it's all right, Charlie. And he's sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And then I finished the prayer. I said bye, and they said bye. I said, if I can drop by, I will. And I walked out of there, and I thought, what just happened then? Push the button to the elevator. I'm just a bit dumbfounded. Something happened. God turned up. God did something. I don't know what it was, but God was there at that Kairos moment. I got in the lift, went about it. 2 days later, I rocked up again. The whole family were around his bed saying farewell to Charlie. And the daughter saw me and said, oh, Dad, it's Cam from the club, the chaplain. And all the family left, and I just had this intimate time with Charlie, and he was blind, he couldn't see, and he reached down, he grabbed my hand, and he pulled me right close to his chest, and he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. An overwhelming sense that he met with Jesus. The Spirit of God touched him. Now, I could say you've got to lead him and repentance happened when he was sobbing. God lifted his burden, turned his heart. A life transformed. When I go, when my Kairos time is up, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to meet Charlie. Charlie's going to be there. I know Charlie's going to be there. He met with Jesus. God touched his life. I spent a bit more time with him and sharing and chatting. Profound. Can I encourage you that as you live your lives that you can de-stress a little bit, and I want to take guilt off mums spending some of that quality time. It's okay not to do some things sometimes. It's okay to leave meetings behind. It's okay not to be controlled by this thing or our iPhones. And look for those quality moments where God's at work and respond to them. Put yourself in a position in the community where you can do that. And as you do that, hearts will open up, lives will be transformed, communities will be transformed. And we'll see God's kingdom come profoundly in your workplace, in your school place, wherever you might be, and see lives and hearts impacted in a profound way. I just want to finish off by showing this video. Some very sad things happening in recent years, but are continuing to happen. Aussie people's hearts are opening up. Our chaplains and church, can I say thank you for sending people out into your community, giving our community time. The gospel will have a huge impact as we continue to do that. We'll see lives transform, communities transform in a profound way. I'd like to show this video. Thank you.
Good evening. First tonight, the tragic death of an AFL star in Las Vegas.
The football world is in shock after confirmation a Port Adelaide player lost his life at the start of an end-of-season trip.
It's believed 22-year-old John McCarthy died after falling from a hotel balcony.
That was a massive shock for our football club, for the wider community. It was a national story. And so in those moments, I provided care and counselling and also took front and centre stage, as it were, and led a memorial on our training facility at Alverton Oval. And the other one is more recently the death of Phil Walsh, who had been a coach. He's a life member of the Port Adelaide Football Club. He was a personal friend of mine, and his life ended in July 2015, and that was a massive shock to everybody, to the whole city of Adelaide.
Here I was at 4 o'clock on a Friday morning, sleeping, and get a phone call from our player welfare manager to say, Mark, can you come down to the club? We're going to need you. Our coach, Phil, has allegedly been murdered overnight. And so I got down to the club, and of course, it wasn't my time to grieve at that point in time. Of course, I was really, really sad and absolutely in shock. But I went into automatic pilot, as others who were involved with the welfare did. My role was to simply usher the players into the club that day, to be with them, talk to them about grief and how this is going to look and feel, all the various ways that they could or would respond, and trying to validate all those things and just be with the boys for that day. And as the days transpired, being part of that welfare structure as a chaplain was vitally important. Some wanted to go to those deep conversations and others didn't, and that's okay. But the club did a remarkable job in putting their hands around the boys, the coaches, and somehow got through a really resilient bunch, and it was a real privilege to be involved in that. Although, of course, I wish I didn't have to be involved in such a thing. It would probably be the hardest thing I've ever been involved in. I also had the privilege of leading the memorial service here at the Adelaide Oval for Phil Walsh and the family. And so it was a massive deal, not just for me and the club, but the whole city here, actually.
Sporting clubs that don't understand the value of a chaplain really haven't thought through their stuff. And we live in a world of occupational health and safety and duty of care, and you can't have enough help. You know, in a professional sport, we have a doctor and a physio and a nutritionist and all kinds of specialists for specialist things. If there are people who are available who can care for people in grief, tragedy, sorrow, if they're feeling disoriented, mental health issues, these are all around about us, and some of these things are growing. Domestic violence, family breakdown. A sporting club, a wise sporting club, is thinking through opening the door to a chaplain to deal with some of those things, because they do happen. When tragedy strikes, and it often does, who will be there? Now, I'm sure there, in every sporting club there are great people, but a chaplain is often well skilled to step in and to provide extra support. Why wouldn't you have them?